This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA on, surprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
Back, the band is back together, my guys.
I consider this the first show ever. Well, this year.
This, okay. Well, what was last week?
It was like a preseason game.
Okay.
So we replaced you with your backup halfway through.
Do you notice the difference in Brian this week, though? See, last week, because you came in last week and it was kind of
so relaxed,
sullen, kind of somber.
I thought it was kind of bland
by Brian's standards.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm fired up.
Because you saw Shaka Daly in the hallway. You saw him talk Michigan soccer.
You know, and the U.S. national team called in Paxton Pomacall and Serginho Dest. They're listing Christian Pulisic as a forward.
What?
I have no idea. Forget about
that. What is he talking about?
We'll come back.
That's why he came in fired
right
up this
Right back
morning.
Playing for Ajax. That's what I'm talking about.
So, Sam, you're right, though. 2 weeks ago, Brian Cook was
I thought it was
happy.
2 weeks ago.
He was happy. Last year, he was kind of...
What are we talking about?
But you should have seen the man last night. What? He got up in front of a bunch of people, and he gave his rosy predictions for the Michigan season.
This guy
that we call Teeth, for how often he smiles
where
in the studio.
Where are you?
The Cirque Bar.
How did I miss this?
Well, I don't know.
What was the event?
You were asleep.
What was the event?
It was 7 p.m. You were asleep.
Tell me what the event was.
We have a thing called Football Eve that Matt Denver sponsors every year.
Mm-hmm.
And people
was great.
Lob questions at me.
I could barely find anything I disagreed with what he said on stage, man.
I see, now I know you're lying.
I could barely find anything.
I didn't invite him, by the way. He just showed up.
No, you did.
Yep.
Let's start off like this, very, very general.
I want to get my yearly complaint since this is the
yearly
first show. My yearly complaint. You know, I still don't have a Screaming Brian Head t-shirt or Brian Cook t-shirt.
So the problem here is not with me.
Well, it is.
We have a form that you fill out. And if you fill out the form correctly, you get the shirt.
So I see the guy every week. Because you're his boy, you're supposed to just give him the shirt.
That's
right. You see what Shaka Daly did?
That's right. That was my point.
Brought a Michigan soccer shirt to me.
Yeah.
So what Craig is saying, which I, you know what, I'm going to side with Craig on
this.
You
don't need that shirt. Give that shirt to me.
No, I, look. I will identify with Michigan soccer, with AFC Ann Arbor. Right. It just happens to be, and then the neon green team.
Are you American?
And the neon
Barcelona.
Yes. Are you an American?
Okay,
men's national team.
I don't know anything about the men's national team.
We got you covered.
I'm
man.
A very
the
educational
team
person.
I know about, but you know, hey, look, man,
and the women's national
my,
team.
My sports watching, my sports viewership is very, very. Limit. I have very little time.
You're busy. You can only watch the Lions.
Outside. but Michigan soccer, he brought me a shirt.
Yeah, okay.
And so what Craig is saying, hey, look, man.
What was Craig
saying?
I see
you every single week.
You can't bring me a shirt.
You can't bring me a shirt, too.
Those are custom. We print them up like every once in a while when we do a Kickstarter.
Well, here's the thing, and I think maybe I have a different idea of thinking about it.
I'll bring him we have a mug that just says the T. Do you want that one?
Yeah, that would be okay. I want a Brian Cook head on my t-shirt. But the thing is, I thought maybe we could have an MGO blog roundtable t-shirt with...
Oh, that'll be a hot seller.
Well, wait. On one side, we'd have Frida Kahlo. On the other side, we'd have like Andrew Luck, who's quit to grow the NFL to grow a neck beard.
These don't have
and
any.
Then on or one, we could have John
on the third side.
We could have John Teske on one side.
What shape is this?
You live with
Terry Mills on the other. We could have Alma Mahler on one side.
How can Trotsky not be on this t-shirt?
Franz Werfel on the other. Malcolm X on one
this
side.
This sounds like the worst t-shirt I've ever heard
well,
of.
Well, wait, how about this one? Smedley Butler on one
Who
side.
Is Smedley
and
Big, Butler?
And Bigfoot on the other with Brian Cook posing as Bigfoot.
You prepared this. This is something you prepared.
I did.
Have you designed it?
Because I came in pissed off.
Because Rishi will print it.
T-shirt.
Rishi will print it.
So your latest book, what is it going to be titled? When is it coming out?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I mean, Seth is supposed
Seth's
to be working on it.
Yeah.
I finished it a while ago, but Seth is working on
so
it.
So now it's Seth's problem.
Now it's his problem.
It's Seth's fault.
All right, you guys. So you guys know Craig. Yeah. I call you Michigan sports historian.
That's an overstatement.
Very, very eclectic guy, an attorney.
I can't say what I call him on the radio.
Brian Cook from
Hello.
The blog. You know Brian, and then of course Ed Fang. This is the first time I said, you know, analytics guru. Is that a proper title?
Sounds good.
I'm an analytics
from the power
guru too.
From the powerrank.com. All right, guys. As we head into the season, I may have asked you this question last week more specifically.
But this is the first show, so.
But what are you buying from the summer based on what you've heard about Michigan? What are you buying? What are you skeptical of as we head into this year?
I buy Jalen Mayfield. Like I bought the hole that we have six stars on the OL before Stuber got hurt. Like just the whole shape of that battle was really encouraging. I think that's going to be a spot where you get an improvement from last year. I'm not really buying anything positive said about people in the secondary.
Okay.
I'm pretty nervous about all of it. And I know you've been saying that you believe the Brad Hawkins
to an extent.
And like I believe that it's a little bit less wobbly than it was in the spring. Still a little nervous about
it. You know, Craig? My thing is, I don't recall a season where the coaches were more upbeat than they have been this year, coming out of a fall camp. And it's odd because there's a juxtaposition between this incredible wariness by fans given the last two games of last year and this incredible positivism that's coming out of the coaching staff. And so I just don't really know what to make about that. I do believe the Brad Hawkins hype, or whatever you want to call it. I believe Brad Hawkins has improved and wasn't probably all that bad last year, but he's really improved this year. I'm skeptical of the Mayfield hype.
What?
Yeah.
That's just like the opposite of what I said.
I know, exactly. I'm skeptical of the Mayfield. I hope the Mayfield.
Why would you be skeptical of the Mayfield?
I'm just skeptical of it. And because Stuber got injured, so we don't really know what happened there. And so.
What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about right tackle. We're also talking about left tackle because of the strange rumors that maybe Runyon isn't going to play. I don't know for a game or
in
two.
The, in like the, you know.
I mean, have you heard
week.
Any of this, Sam, about
so,
Runyon?
Here's what I'll say. I think that. Oh, Craig.
Yeah. I
you didn't have to say.
You didn't have to say. Because you didn't tell me anything about this. I've heard other places.
So I think that, you know, if. From a depth standpoint, mm-hmm. If you are in a position where you feel like you have six linemen, and all of them are healthy enough to go, but maybe you might have someone dinged up, you have the luxury of sitting maybe one of your starters if you got a guy that you feel confident in is your sixth starter. So Stuber around, it's like, man, you could if something was up with John Runyon, you could say. We're just going to roll with Stuber, no problem. Stuber goes down. If something is an issue with any of your starters, because I had Stuber as the backup for four of the spots, every spot except center.
Yeah.
Stuber was the primary backup, in my opinion. And so any of those guys could have sat out, you know, a game or two, and you would have felt comfortable with Stuber, you know, if you felt like it was one where you were just holding them back just to get them a little more ready to play. Stuber going down, I think maybe pushes you, if a guy can play, if one of your starters might be a little dinged up and he can play, pushes you a little further towards just going ahead and playing that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you just go through practice and you feel like he's not looking good enough, we're going to go ahead and give him a breather and you just got to go with one of your unproven backups. So I have no idea
what that means, Sam, but I'll buy it. I buy all of it.
So basically, in a hypothetical situation, if something were at issue with John Runyon, you know, you got to listen to what what Jim said just a couple of days ago. He's like, hey, man, if I'm talking about who I like the best in camp on the offensive line, he said John Runyon would be in that conversation.
Okay.
So that's what he just said back on Monday. But, you know, if he were thinking about holding him back, I think you're a little less prone to if with Stuber being down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then it becomes a question of, you know, how close is he really to 100%? And if he's, you know, if it's just a comfort thing that he can play through, I might go ahead and just play him now with Stuber being down.
It's a Conference USA opponent.
They seem very small.
Right. And so that's, a lot of it depends on how comfortable you are with where he is health-wise and his backup, if something was at play.
Okay.
Indeed.
There we
you
go.
You just literally picked the opposite of the stuff that I picked.
You did. You sure did.
It's like an Ed move. You pulled an Ed move.
Well, it wasn't a complete Ed move.
Well, I have a reason for picking the opposite of what.
Oh, do you?
I do.
So what is yours? What are you buying? What are you skeptical of?
I mean, personally, I'm not buying anything until I see them on Saturday night.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious.
That's not even an answer to the question.
You talk to any database predictive kind of person, and they'll tell you the chatter is just, you know, you listen to it, and that's great. But you watch the games when it matters, and that's what we'll see. You know, I'm going to be watching Michael Dana out there. I want to see how 15 tackles for loss translates. Well, I guess this to a Conference USA opponent. Mm-hmm. And everything's got to be adjusted for the fact this is Middle Tennessee. But one thing I have been noticing, you know, Michigan, Ohio State have been at 10 wins in the win totals market all month. But the price for Michigan to go over is going up, and the price for Ohio State to go over is going down. So I think it's similar to what all of us think
about how
these two programs.
But that doesn't mean anything because we haven't played any games yet. So,
but that's predictive.
Oh, okay.
Whereas chatter from the coaches.
So talking is not predictive.
But, so for
it depends
for me,
on what you say, Brian.
Yeah, for me, I don't rely on just, you know, I try to find the points of intersection between what the coaches say and what the players say. Okay. And that gives me, in non-press conference settings, where you know, typically you're going to get the glass half full perspective. You tend to get more candor away from settings like that. And the reason why I'm buying the Brad Hawkins hype to an extent is that the players have been echoing the sentiments that the coaches are offering with his coverage ability. Now, here's what I'm not buying yet. Here's what I'm waiting to see. I'm not buying the talk that he could be, you know, jumping to the NFL at the end of the year. I'm not ready to do that, which I think I said last week. I am buying that he's an improvement over Tyree Kennell in coverage at that position.
So when Michigan goes to a nickelback, is he dropping down to the nickel?
He's dropping down to the nickel.
And then who's coming in at safety?
So right now, I think, you know, heading into this week of practice, I think that's Jamarik Woods.
All right.
Now, is it still Jamarik Woods in game one? Dax Hill is right there. I think it's a matter of, and this is my opinion, this is not anything the coaches have said, this is strictly my opinion, I'm stressing it as such. It is just a matter of when, not if, for Daxton Hill taking that spot.
They said he was fourth or fifth.
Fourth or fifth. Is that motivational?
I think fourth. I think, heading into the week, I think that's
I think
where
it's
he
technically
was.
Correct, but mostly motivational.
And I think it's just a matter of time before he is third in that mix, and he is when Brad Hawkins rolls down to nickel eventually, and maybe very early in the season, if not this, or I think it'll be very early in the season, if not this week. Daxton Hill will be that guy. He is off the charts athletically.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's interesting because if I have Brad Hawkins in that nickel position, I'm going back to, like, if you want a slot fade, you can try it. Because he's big, he's able to leap, he's able to contest those kind of throws.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you can go back to what you were doing 2 years ago when you were blitzing your linebackers a lot more. Mm-hmm. And Kalik Hudson was much more active as a guy crossing the line of scrimmage. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's one of the things. One of the things I focused on in my one-on-one with Partridge that we're going to play on Inside Schimberkler Hall and on the KeyBank Countdown to Kickoff is the advantage of having a safety that playing nickel versus a corner. Why is that desirable? You know, it was phrased in his defense, probably in any defense, it'd be preferable. And he talked about how, look, you know, not only is Brad quick enough to roll down on a quick, shifty, fast guy in the slot, but he's big enough to step over and cover a tight end. He can be an edge guy against the run. He just gives you more versatility. A safety that can play that spot gives you more versatility. And so the question was, well, why haven't you done this? He said, well, Sam, we didn't have this guy. You know, we had to play a corner there because we didn't have a safety that could cover like we expect Brad to be able to cover. Now, so I am buying that. It's consistent enough through the players and coaches to buy, for me, their improvement there. I'm not ready to say he's a pro at the end of the year. Not ready to do that.
Well, can we go to the other part, I think at least implicit in Brian's point?
That you disagree with?
No, I agree with it. And that and that is what happens at the other corner for the time being. And what, yeah. I mean, is that Vincent Gray?
Vincent Gray.
Yeah, Vincent Gray and Jalen Kelly Powell.
But okay. Given what everybody has said through spring and fall, it's Vincent Gray, and he doesn't really have a guy who's in the mix, like who's really challenging him, it seems like. I mean, just from the stuff that I've gathered, it's just like
he's won that position by default.
Kind of seems like it.
I don't quite see it that way. Okay. I see it that he is definitely the guy long term. He is the guy that they feel is more physically talented. He's the guy that's going to start in that role. I don't think that he plays that. I think you'll see them rotate there. We saw them rotate the corners all the way through last year. You won't see Vert rotate. He's going to be in the game.
You're not going to see Vert at all.
From snap one to the end of the game. But I think you'll see some kind of rotation at that other corner spot.
But yeah, you're...
But Vincent Gray, I think, will be the starter.
LeVert Hill is going to be frustrated this year because he's going to be in coverage all the time. Mm-hmm. And he's never going to get a chance to do anything.
Well,
nobody's
going to
throw him good. All year.
Awesome. That's what you want your top cornerback to do, take away half the field.
Maybe like 11, 12 targets at him the whole of last year. It was absurdly low, and it's very frustrating when you're trying to write a guy up.
Yeah, but, you know, if he can have – what did you think of David Long last year?
David Long was the same way. Terrific. Like, they just didn't get targeted. Neither of them got targeted. And even in the Ohio State game, they didn't get targeted either because it was everything went at Watson. So, like, I think LeVert Hill is an All-American level corner because he – has a body of work mostly from his sophomore year, but it's I don't know how relevant he's going to be. I mean, it's nice that Michigan has one really good corner, but
all right. So before we get to the break, why aren't you buying the Jalen Mayfield talk?
Well, I'm not buying it or not buying it. Let me be. I just don't know. If Jalen Mayfield had beaten out Stuber, if that's then I would be buying it because I think Stuber was okay.
So I said that I made it a point when the news that Stuber had gone down came out, I made it a point to say, look, I think, and I had been hearing, Jalen Mayfield was going to win that battle.
Okay, now, if that's the case.
It may have been the 60-40 or 70-30 split.
That's what
Warner was talking about. Mm-hmm. But who would have been the first guy that they tried it out there? I think it was going to be Jalen Mayfield. I think that a razor-thin battle, as it was described to me in the spring, as I talked to the guys heading into the summer, what was it going to take for Jalen Mayfield to be that guy? Because if you go back to spring ball, I'm sure you guys are hearing things. The start of spring ball, I heard Stuber was winning that battle. I mean, there was no question based on what I was hearing. They were getting equal snaps. Stuber was winning the battle. As they got deeper into the spring ball, now the pendulum shifts. And so in asking or finding out why, say, remember, we were putting in a new system. You got a guy who's been around for a little while, has been through changes offensively, has an idea, and has played some actual games. It was easier for him to adapt, whereas Jalen Mayfield, freshman, learned the system. You get into spring ball, now you got to learn something new. It kind of slowed him down a bit. As they got deeper in the spring ball, he got better. He started to win that competition. So how does he win it in the fall? You got to be on the same level as those guys when it comes to approach, when it comes to preparation in the offseason. And if he's able to do that, if he's able to show his teammates mm-hmm. that he punches the clock just like Bredesen, just like Runyon, just like all those other guys, then he's more talented physically. He brings you that tenacious attitude. He brings you some of those intangible qualities that you want to see in that spot. He'll be the guy. I think he was going to be the guy.
Well, if he was going to be the guy, then I'm not worried, and you and Brian are right.
They were both going to play. They're both going to play, but I think Jalen Mayfield was going to be the first guy.
So okay. Sam says something, and now you're on board. Is that, that what happens?
I was also basing what I was saying off of what Sam had said previously. So now...
So Brian says something, writes it down on the blog. Yeah. He's like, eh.
I wrote out my whole case for Jalen Mayfield just like yesterday, and you're like, I read all your stuff, and then...
I do, but I didn't read that piece.
All right, you got to get to a break. As we do, let me remind you folks, tomorrow we are going to be live on location, Brighton Ford, the spot where we are going to kick off Fantastic Friday, 12 hours of Michigan football, Michigan football talk, the first 5 hours of which will take place here on the Michigan Insider live from Brighton Ford. We're going to have several great guests. We're going to start off the morning with Inside Schembechler Hall with Chris Partridge and Aiden Hutchinson, and then we'll have Greg Skrepanek on the phone, and then the in-person guests start rolling through. We're going to have Jaron Irons. We're going to have Chris Hutchinson in the morning. We're going to have our new duo, the captain and the coach for our new show. We're going to have Al Borges and Mike Martin out there. Jim Hackett is going to show up and co-host for an hour. John U. Bacon will be there. Chris Hutchinson is going to come out for an hour and, you know, talk about his heyday as a Michigan Wolverine defensive lineman. And now his son, a starting defensive lineman, a great, great slate of guests. Really looking forward to Fantastic Friday at Brighton Ford. And just announced a few days ago, folks, if you're in the market for a Ford lease or purchase, $500 bonus cash on 2019 Ford leases and purchases until August 31st. If you make it out to Brighton Ford for Fantastic Friday, you can take advantage of a great deal. So hope to see you out there. We got to get to a break. And by the way, Brighton Ford is located at 8240 Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan, just off of 96. Got to get to a break. Back on the other side, more MGO Blog Roundtable here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket. We are back, folks, here on Sports Talk 1050, the MGO Blog Roundtable. Brian Cook, Ed Fang, Craig Ross. We were just kind of detailing what you're buying, what you're not. Let's get a little bit into Middle Tennessee State, guys. What you obviously, this is not a
I don't know
a marquee opponent.
Well, they're not a complete meatball either. I mean,
they kind of are.
Well,
I mean, isn't Michigan like a 35-point favorite?
You can pick anyone from Conference USA and it'd be a pretty bad opponent.
Well, let me put it this way: by Conference USA standards, they've been pretty
not the worst.
They've been pretty good for the last 5 or 6 years. I think their coach is okay. I mean, they had a good quarterback. The coach's son was Rick Stockstill. Is that his name? No, that's
Rick's
the coach.
The coach.
Coach.
Brent was the
son. And he was pretty good there.
He was really good, but yeah, the offense kind of peaked in 2016, though.
Yeah, and they.
But he's no longer there.
And he's no longer there.
They've got JC quarterback Randall Johnson, who's like 6'5", 235. I don't know if he's going to start or not.
Yeah, they haven't said who they're.
They haven't said who their starter is. He was a pretty successful JC kid. I don't know what he can really do.
Say he can move. A big guy that can move.
Yeah. So
that's a lot of quarterback draws.
But their offensive line, I think they lost most of the top talent that they had.
That's three of their offensive line.
I mean, you just look at their returning starters, and it's like, defensive tackle, 260 pounds. And I'm like, all right, that's all I need to know.
I mean, they do have a couple interesting pieces back on the defense, a couple linebackers that had a bunch of tackles for loss. I mean, in Conference USA,
yeah,
a couple defensive ends.
Their free safety led them in tackles last year on Blankenship.
5'6", 140 pounds. All right.
That's... Yeah, they're inexperienced.
That was Walter Eckersall, incidentally. Walter Eckersall was 5'6", 138, 35 pounds, and was probably the best quarterback in the country.
In 1932.
No. Now I think that was 1903 or 4.
Okay.
So, different time. But the Scott Schaefer is their defensive coordinator. Uh-huh. I think even though he had a bad time here, he's a smart guy and knows...
And we had a horrific time here.
Yeah, right. I don't think it was all his fault.
May not have been, but...
But it was,
definitely was not. And they're asking him to run a 3-3-5 like that he doesn't run. Like
that was a reaction. well, not a good one.
Well,
but a reaction to the ineptitude that they had been showing. So yeah.
Well, that I think that's a fair.
That
comment.
May have just been it may have exacerbated it. Right. But.
Yeah. I mean, he was the one non-Rich Rod coach who came in. And I think he was always felt sort of out of sync with that coaching staff.
Let's not rehash this.
I don't. But he is a coach. He is the defensive coordinator at Middle Tennessee State. And he's going to blitz a ton. I mean, they tend to blitz a lot, and they'll blitz a lot in this game. So, I mean, I don't think they're a good team. Ed's probably right. They're probably a bad team. But there are worse teams out there. Yeah. Tulsa, for example, I think is worse. But
right. So the Golden Hurricane.
Yeah,
got some.
I'm hurricane. Sorry.
I mean, they're not a 42-point favorite. They're only a 34-ish point favorite.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I have them winning this game going away as well, and hopefully Michigan can work their depth. They feel obviously you're feeling really really good about Dylan McCaffrey. So can this be a game where Roche is done? You know, by the end of the third quarter.
Well, I'm going to be interested to see if they give him like the third drive. And just be like, and that's going to be like a thing where, you know, you get a couple first half drives because, you know, I've been banging this drum about Ohio State. They have no one after Justin Fields. Yeah. And Michigan is in a situation where now they have quarterback depth. So
you got to work it.
In past years, like when Michigan quarterbacks go out, they bring in not very good quarterbacks. And when Ohio State quarterbacks have gone out, they bring in like Cardale Jones and Kenny Guyton.
And Dwayne Haskins.
And Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
And finally, that dynamic is reversed. And to take advantage of that, you need to
play him,
and get comfortable with the fact that he's in the game.
I think that's a huge part of the motivation. Is that, you know, to win a championship in this day and age, you gotta have two quarterbacks.
Yeah,
you even have to.
Even Clemson needed Kelly Bryant to win a game early last year.
Yeah, man.
Before he was like, bye.
And after that, so Kelly Bryant leaves, Trevor Lawrence goes in there, and then he goes down, and you got to go to who's right. Your third guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they got made a crucial game. Throw against Syracuse.
Yeah, man, they lose that game if they have, you know, zero quarterback play in that contest. You had better work, and then, of course, Bama, you know. You better have a couple of quarterbacks on the ready, and they're obviously feeling really good about Dylan McCaffrey. My interest in watching Dylan out there is to see how much he stays, not stay in the pocket, how much he throws versus runs. Yeah. In the spring game is not necessarily indicative of what a game is going to be like, but man, he ran a lot.
He did, and so I want to see like what he looks like just physically, because he's 6'5 beanpole when he arrives here, and people are talking about how he doesn't have much arm strength. Well, that's something you can fix by beefing up.
And he has.
Yeah, so like that was always a question. And then the Nebraska game last year, you know, he's bombing it downfield, and I think like 6 of his 8 throws were way downfield, and they were all accurate. There's one that was off, but he hits Ronnie Bell. There was Ambry Thomas got open, and Ambry Thomas dropped the ball, but like in terms of like, oh, this guy can mm-hmm. do this, that was a real eye-opener. And so seeing that continue even against some lesser foes would be really good.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that you raise. Will they just give him a drive versus, you know, doing some two quarterback sets, which we saw at times last year? Ideally, though, he plays, whether it's the second series or third series of the game or an entire quarter at the end of the game, hopefully he just gets his extended snaps in this game, because that gets him further down the line of readiness for if and when they need him.
Well, it's going to be, if there is garbage time in this game, what does Michigan's offense look like in the garbage time? Because it's no longer we're going to run power.
Right.
Like, if they're running the offense.
You're running the offense.
You're running the offense.
Right.
And that's going to be like, oops, we scored 2 more touchdowns. Sorry. It was a little rude.
Yeah.
But
I hear you.
I'll take it.
I'll take it too, man. I just like, you know, one of the things that you heard the coaches and players all talk about this week. We were talking about it the last couple of weeks, Ronnie Bell. Everyone's talking about Ronnie Bell. As we talk about Ronnie Bell, that doesn't mean in place of any of the guys that we consider to be the top three. The point is that they're saying we can get all these guys the ball because the offense tells you to go where the opening is, where the opening of the matchup
is. And you don't have a fullback anymore. You know, so you're
playing. Are they really not going to have a fullback? I just can't imagine that, like, it's going to be 4 weeks in and Jim Harbaugh is going to look at Ben Mason and Ben Mason is going to look at Jim Harbaugh and they're going to be like, all right, And like, this is short yardage, you know? Like, I want to see what happens when Mason is the fullback and Ben Van Sumeren is the tailback on third and one. I just want to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it might happen occasionally or rarely, but I think that Gattis is telling us the truth and Harbaugh's telling us the truth.
Yeah,
that,
I do too.
That they're, and our depth chart doesn't even show a fullback. Now, I'm not saying there won't be any play ever where they bring out a fullback, but I think it'll be very rare.
Yeah, remember when Harbaugh got hired here and he's talking about like what Bo's telling him, like, you're going to have a fullback?
I do remember.
And Harbaugh's like, yeah, you're going to be fine, son. So that's a terrible Bo impression, but that's what I have.
No, it wasn't bad. But I'm not buying the full. I think there won't be a fullback, and I think there's going to be.
I agree with you, but I'm.
You want to see it.
I like, you just look at Ben Mason, and I'm like, I want to see that.
Not having a fullback isn't as big a departure as having an offensive coordinator is.
Yeah.
He has an offensive coordinator. And one of the things he said in one of our conversations, he said Bo didn't have an offensive coordinator. That was part of his rationale for the collaborative process. And now you've seen him shift from that. So
yeah, and it's going to be a lot of RPOs, which is going to be interesting. And I think it's much more in what Shea Patterson's wheelhouse is, like the kind of stuff that he was good at in high school and at Ole Miss is this stuff.
All right. So we need to get to a break. We'll jump around when we get back because we want to talk about some of the other games in college football. So we'll dissect a few. So, fellas, let's dive right in with the question we got during the break. Now, I don't think this was the same caller who called in last week and said, well, explain to me why this is different from when Michigan, switched offenses from Lloyd Carr to Rich Rodriguez. And it was like, come on, man, there's so many different factors.
Was Nico Collins on that team?
I went over it all. I was like, well, start with you have a quarterback.
Yeah.
You have a quarterback that can run your system.
Two quarterbacks.
All right. You have veteran skill position guys that are tailor made for any scheme, frankly, but certainly for this scheme. Think about this. You also had a huge sea change when it came to strength and conditioning. At that time as well, the offensive linemen, they had to completely change their body types.
Yeah.
And there are so many factors.
But what was this question?
This question was, okay,
what's the difference?
What's the difference between
Rich Rod's offense and Gattis' offense?
Yes.
Well, so Rich Rod's offense was, the state-of-the-art moves, right? So the state-of-the-art when the zone read first came out was just like the quarterback keeps the ball and nobody's ever seen this before and it's amazing.
Yeah, reading that defensive end.
Right, and then the defensive ends get wise, and so you have to throw in all these tweaks and do all this stuff and proceed from there. So this is just the evolution of the Rich Rod offense over time. And then the main strategic component that's new is that there's a bunch of RPOs. And RPOs are run-pass options where the line run blocks. A receiver runs a route, and the quarterback reads the linebacker or safety who they're trying to put in conflict. And that sounds really complicated. But for everybody except Shea Patterson, it's exactly the same.
Well, one of the things that trips people up, and I've heard this question a lot, is how do you not get called for an eligible lineman downfield on an RPO? And they give you three yards downfield in order to offset that.
Which is a problem when you're paying Nebraska and you're pushing those guys 5 yards downfield.
So, yeah, Taylor Lewan once got an illegal man downfield because he blocked a guy like 10 yards downfield on a pass. But he's so the ball gets out quickly enough. So it's you're either giving the ball off or you're making one read. And that's something that Patterson's been really good at in his career, and I think that's going to work out really well. And then the rest of it is threatening both sides of the field simultaneously. So they have a lot of plays where they'll fake or sometimes it's a real option. They'll fake like a sweep one way and then they'll sweep the other way. If you remember the UCF game, where Scott Frost was here, and this was Scott Frost like picking up the worst team in the country and getting them 6-6. They did that constantly, and they weren't good at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they got an 85-yard touchdown. They got like 275 rushing yards on Michigan in that game, and a lot of that is because when one guy makes a mistake, it's not like you went from 2 yards to 6 yards. You went from 3 yards to 50. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be an explosive offense. I think it's one well-suited for the quarterback.
Right, and one of the differences that people will note, and I talked about this last week, and I heard Chris Howard say the same thing yesterday. There's no such thing as a decoy route in this. You know, everyone is live in this offense all the time. So you might see a, you know, a backside receiver that last year they never go. They never go here. Every guy is an option in this offense because they're going to go where the, you know, where the ball tells them they should go on a given play, and that might be to Ronnie Bell on the backside on this play.
The I mean, Brian hit it. I mean, basically, the talent Michigan has fits his style, and that was something that was not true in the first year of for certain of Hoke.
I mean, they had freshmen everywhere, and they had seven offensive linemen on the whole roster. Yeah. So it's a little bit different situation in terms of personnel.
Yeah, and the RPO thing. The other thing is, with Rich Rod, he ran a lot of 2x2s that were he called the Ripper Liz, depending on where what he called the super back was positioned. This won't. I mean, you're going to see some 2x2s, maybe some empty, but you're also going to see the slot receiver, who's a sort of a combination running back receiver, and so I predict. Sometime this year, you'll see old 86 run, which is a single wing play from 1905. That's my prediction.
And mark that one down, everybody.
And I think that this particular offense has a little bit more single wing in it than the Rich Rod offense.
Well, you know, there was a pass that Sanders still caught in the spring game where he came out of the backfield, and I think you're going to see a lot of motion in and out of the backfield by that spread H-back,
right.
And, you know, it's going to be...
He'll be all over the place.
Yeah.
Real quick, just to get your takes quickly on some of the more interesting games around college football. What do you think of Oregon-Auburn?
Well, you know, it depends on... Like, you got a true freshman quarterback at Auburn versus Justin Herbert. You know, I think it's going to come down to, like, how many turnovers is Bo Nix responsible for, and can Auburn overcome that? I mean, they got a really good defense, so I think it'll be...
Yeah, I'm anxious to see Justin Herbert in this game. This might be the best defensive line in college football for Auburn.
Yeah, but sure. It's also one of the best offensive lines for Oregon, so they have three or four guys who are real high-end NFL prospects. So if you can get him protected... And you have a functional senior quarterback with a good passing offense against Bo Nix. I would say Oregon on that
Ed?
One.
Yeah, I think Herbert's super interesting because you look at some of these draft NFL draft scouts. I mean, he's projected to be one of the top picks. And the first thing they say is 6'6", explosive athlete. Oh, and he's, you know, decent at throwing the ball, which, you know, and I'm not saying he's like Josh Allen or anything, but like that's not what you want to.
Right.
I said this last week.
Yeah.
But you want someone like
I get what you're saying.
So like I have my doubts about Oregon. I mean, their defense wasn't great last year. Changed the defensive coordinator and lost some key guys from that side of the ball too. So I think for Oregon it would be a big statement for Oregon to win that game, and I would be wrong that they're overrated. So I'm going to go with Auburn.
I'm with you on that, Ed. I like Auburn in that game.
True freshman quarterback against Justin Herbert, and those guys are going Auburn.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones real quick. Hear from Jake in Ann Arbor. Jake, what's up?
First of all, I am pumped that we are two awesome days till the Michigan football season. A big congrats out to the Michigan basketball for showing up for their season tickets. But before that, we have a big football game coming up. Hopefully this season will go by so slow and stuff. One game, one play, one moment at a time. I'll hang up and listen. Go Blue!
He had a hype man this time.
Yeah.
I never heard Jake with a hype man before. Jake normally is the hype man.
Doesn't need one.
All right, guys. Great to have you back in studio again this year. Looking forward to another spirited year. The MGO Blog Roundtable.